My energy is infinite. My energy is infinite. My energy is infinite.
Welcome back to another episode of the Divine Reconnection Podcast with your hosts. I'm Natalie.
And I'm Lauren.
And if you liked our little serenade at the beginning, it's actually one of the songs in my affirmation playlist, and we play this most mornings. And
who's it by? What's the artist?
That song? Oh, I'm not sure. It's called My Energy is Infinite. I forgot who sings the name of the artist, but what I'll do is if you're interested in listening to that affirmation, starting your morning off positively or just your day, it's really an energy shifter. Mm-hmm. I'll link it in the description so you could click into it. I'll leave my Spotify playlist there. But we just finished eating a little
small sun. Breakfast.
Yeah, some manduras, or also known as like sweet plantains, I fried up.
Yeah, and some los uvas.
Las uvas.
Las uvas.
Las uvas. Some grapes.
We're in the middle of the country.
Tree.
But right now I'm staring at rolling hills. Yeah. We're up in the mountains, so mm-hmm. like I can see other people's farmlands. I can see their crops. Mm-hmm. I can see their houses. It's a very, very beautiful Airbnb.
Yeah.
Breathtaking. Something that you would see on a painting.
Yeah, it's really, really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's great to like wake up to this view every day. I was on the phone with my dad yesterday, and my dad is so funny. He's hilarious. And so I was showing him this view, and, you know, he was, like, just gagging at the view.
He was like, oh, you guys, you girls are having fun. Okay, I see you.
My dad is so funny. Like, I'm laughing hysterically when I'm on the phone with him. And he's always talking about how, like, he wants me to settle down. He wants me to get a house.
Oh, you girls, you keep hopping around like that. You need to get you a house. Get you settled down. But, you know, people are different. It's just what you like. I know. I'm different. I need a house to settle down. But, you know, you could do it while you're young.
And so, you know, it's so funny because I could hear him going back and forth between, like, being happy for me, but also being, like,
saying that that's not what he prefers.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, you need to do this, or you need a car, you need a this. And I'm like, but, Daddy, look at the life I'm living.
You know, I heard the evolution of how he talks to you now.
Mm-hmm.
I think I met him 2 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit before that.
And before, he didn't quite understand our lifestyle. He didn't quite understand you. Y'all were rebuilding your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And now, even though he is saying, like, you know, what you're doing, girls, like, is very, very beautiful, I can really hear the excitement. I can hear he's happy for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I also can hear the fear. I can hear, but that's too unpredictable. That lifestyle right there is unpredictable. I can hear your dad's evolution of how he talks to you now.
Mm-hmm.
He understands. He has a little bit more understanding about you and about what you prefer out of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you are opening up his eyes to what the world is like out here.
Yeah.
He is not a huge traveler.
Mm-hmm.
I think you told me when y'all were younger, he always used to complain about
he would always complain about traveling. Being out. I think it was multi-layered, but he was always complaining while we were traveling, and then it got to a point where he just stopped traveling with us.
Yeah.
Because he was just miserable, and he was spreading the misery.
Yeah, you know, when someone's not happy and when they're not having a good time, they're kind of just like complaining about things, and it can ruin the trip a little bit. But one thing I heard a dad say, he's like, man, yeah, we used to be on a cruise. Why we can't take weed on a cruise? I need to roll me up a blunt or something.
My dad is a very big advocate of weed.
Yeah, it was like, it calms his nerves, which I completely understand. Mm-hmm. I completely get. I love when people can understand what their own preferences are without trying to push on their preferences onto your life.
I think it's a different energy when people are truly happy to see you happy, like, period.
Yeah.
You know, you can feel when your loved one, especially, because you know how it feels, you know their energy. Mm-hmm. And you can tell when they are smiling at you, but they're not happy that you're of the choices that you're making. You know, they're just tolerating it. You know, sometimes
their hate shines through more so than their happiness. They're like, oh, you doing that? Oh, okay, that sounds good.
You know, I was talking to my therapist yesterday, and families operate around utilizing guilt and shame, like the Bible itself, as a form of control.
Girl.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Families utilize guilt and shame like the Bible itself as a form of control. And families, they see it as like you are, like you have to respect what the other person is feeling or thinking and abide by that. But low key, it's a form of abuse because you become a prisoner in your family to be loved.
Yeah, because when you're younger, you start to equate, oh, my family loves me when they are happy with my choices. Mm-hmm. They praise me when I am choosing a choice they are approving of, mm-hmm. right? That they have approval of. Actually, when you get older and you start to figure out, okay, I don't prefer this. Mm-hmm. And it does make my mom unhappy, but what is more important? My own happiness. Allowing yourself to choose the things that make you happy, you start to see the differences, the difference in their reactions. And all the while in your younger years, you're like, ooh, mommy, I did this. Oh, good job.
You like, get the validation, you get acceptance, you get the love that you're craving and you're looking for. And that's a point where like you have to actually get to in like being aware. One of the questions that I'm now, like, every time I make a decision or a choice in my life, mm-hmm. I have to think, am I doing this to make myself feel good or am I doing this to make others feel good?
Think about 12 to 18 years where all of your decisions are tethered to, is this going to make my parents proud? Is this going to make them happy? Are they going to frown at me or are they going to celebrate me? And all those years you spend making those decisions to make them proud.
But what was something that you as a child was doing to make other people happy? That
Okay. Let me tell you this. When I was a child, 9 years old, I started praise dancing. Mm-hmm. All right. I made up a dance to a song. And my mom brought me into my aunt's bedroom and showed her, because backstory, my aunt is a pastor and she's the pastor of the church that we go to. So from then, I mean, my aunt had created this dance team for the church. And we started praise dancing and we went through numerous leaders, like praise dance leaders. And we got to a praise dance leader that I did not like. I just didn't like the way she was leading us, and my passion for dancing just like left. I just didn't want to do it anymore. It wasn't fun. It was too technical. I had to wear attire that I didn't like. And plus, I'm a full-blown tomboy. I was wearing clothes that didn't make me feel comfortable. And so I asked my mom, I was like, can I quit? Like, can I stop dancing? I asked my mom for years, can I quit? Can I quit? And I remember other people were involved in the decision of me not quitting. Like, they was like, but you're so good at it. Like, oh, but you're so beautiful. I started to understand that because this made my mom happy and because this made other people in the church happy, that my happiness was not important. And I just could not understand, why are you making me do this? I finally said no. I don't know what I was afraid of, but I wanted to please my mom. In those teenage years, 15 on up, I saw that every time I chose a decision for myself, if it didn't make my mom happy, then I saw our relationship kind of like drift.
It's a generational thing.
Yeah. Like,
generations pass down this idea of guilt and shame to unconsciously train you to abide by their rules and because it makes them feel good or them feel comfortable.
My mom had a hard time accepting me. I didn't really put up a lot of resistance growing up and being the person she wanted me to be. I did choose a lot of things for her and because I thought I was choosing it for myself.
Am I doing this for me to feel good, or am I doing this for her to feel good? Mm-hmm. Sometimes those tend to overlap.
Yes, they do.
Because especially if you're doing it for her, in turn, it is coming back to you because it's making you feel safe. It makes you feel secure, and it makes you feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so that's kind of like where that dynamic is so strong. And it's really difficult as you're starting to grow out of it to
see if you're making, yeah, to detach from that and to see if you're making decisions based on you and what you like, or because you want to feel safe and you want to feel liked and you want to feel accepted and you want to feel like the people around you are happy. Mm-hmm. Throughout my adulthood, I started really asking myself, hey, Lauren, what do you want? When you really distance yourself away from family, not because they did anything wrong, but because that's how life panned out for you, you start really sitting with your own voice and you start really sitting with your own decisions. And when you do, and you do make decisions and you're realizing, oh, I like the way that makes me feel. And then you go and return home and you visit, and then you let your family see what decisions you made for yourself, and then you see that the little scoffs and the upset faces, and be like, this is not the response that you had when I did this. And I'm like, hold on, you are not happy with my decision. And then you got to go back to your own self and be like, can I sit with that I made a decision that made me happy, but it is causing contrast, like it's showing you contrast between what your parents want for you and what you want for yourself.
And in that space, that is where guilt and shame shows up heavily, because mm-hmm. now you're going back to the decision that you made, and now you're questioning yourself.
Yeah.
And now you have other influences and you know, energies in your mind, in your space, that is now making you feel uneasy about what you're choosing for yourself. For me, that is a trigger. When I make a choice for myself, I just want to feel supported. I don't want to hear like, why she do it that way? Or like, who is she coming home with? Like, I don't want to hear any of that.
Yeah.
Because
It
doesn't feel comfortable. As a people pleaser and who's someone who's trained to be, you know, making sure that everybody else is happy, now I'm in my own space. Like, I'm in my own, like, swirl of negativity.
Because you're battling other people's thoughts. You've already picked up the energy of, this made someone feel uncomfortable. Am I doing something wrong? Did I make the wrong choice?
Yeah. I have been trained so well to punish myself. That is the thing. I can get into my mind and think, oh, I shouldn't have said it like that. Or I should have thought about this before I made this choice. Or why didn't I take into account everybody else's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that is when I start punishing and feeling bad. And that is a really uncomfortable place to be in. And so sometimes just not even recognizing what begins swirling within you, that feeling is something that I'm learning to just be able to sit with.
Describe that feeling. What does it feel like?
I say it's like anxiety, but it just feels like an unsettled feeling. It feels, I know in my mind, I am ruminating on all of the possible things I should have done, I could have done differently, and how to be the person to reach out and maybe apologize for a choice that I made or how I expressed myself.
One thing you told me was, I don't feel comfortable knowing that someone is upset with me based on the decision that I've made.
Yeah.
Even if you moved in your authentic self, even if you expressed your own feelings own experience mm-hmm. and the way that it felt to you, if someone shows you that they are upset with you because of your feelings and your experience, you would then punish yourself mm-hmm. and you would start spiraling, and you're like, oh my gosh, should I have said it that way? Should I have? And I'm like, baby, this is your experience. Nobody can make you feel bad about your experience. But I know that that feels differently inside of you. Yeah. You're like, but
it's dysregulating mm-hmm. for me. And I'm recognizing being away from my normal environment, being really isolated. We are in the mountains in the middle of nowhere in Colombia.
And nobody can find us. Even if somebody from home decided to hop on a plane to Medellin, they can't find us.
Being in a space where I am feeling mostly safe in my body, yeah. I can very clearly recognize, even to the smallest degree, when something is out of alignment, when something shifts.
And doesn't make you feel safe.
It doesn't make me feel safe. And so being away from that environment allows me more conscious time and effort to focus on healing and sitting with that feeling.
Let me describe healing for some people. Healing is an ongoing process, right? It's recognizing what has been taught to you, what has been forced upon you, what other ideals and mindsets that you picked up along the way. These mindsets aren't anyone's fault, right? It's what we all go through. And so what healing is how do I shed the pieces of other people's opinions? How do I shed other people's fears that have been placed on me? And how do I start to uplift my own feelings of safety? How do I uplift my own interests and things that make me happy? How do I pay more attention to myself and less attention to other people? It is impossible to prioritize your own feelings when it comes to other people. I used to think that it was disrespectful to care about my own feelings. My brother and I had this conversation and we both had agreed, like, oh my gosh, I thought it was disrespectful to say my own piece. To say, you know what, that's not what I prefer right now. And you know, once upon a time, you couldn't do that when you're 7 years old. You can't do that when you're 12 years old. And so you start to think that that's normal. And you start to go into adulthood with that same training that you got when you were younger. At one point in our lives, me and my two younger brothers were all in the same household. And what we were trained on is make sure there's no dishes in the sink. Make sure everything's clean. If I ask you to do something, put down everything you're doing and do what I ask you to do. We're adults now and we're not disrespectful. We're very respectful adults. We struggled and we learned through this struggle how to say, hey, this is not what I prefer right now. Mom, you're actually dysregulated. When you come home from work, that is an environment where you were not in control. And when you come home, you try really hard to control this environment. And when you see dishes in the sink, that is your trigger. And that reminds you that you are not in control. And what you do is you try to project that onto us. We had to have that conversation with her. I'm like, Mom, you got to figure out a way to regulate yourself. Because it's not, I am an adult now. I have other priorities. And when I was 12, my only priority was to go to school and clean up this house. Now that I'm 30 something, even though I'm in your house, I'm here visiting. I'm an adult. There are other ways that I can contribute, but it is not you come home from work and these dishes need to be out of sink because I work all day. What's your excuse now? Because we all work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And we started to call out our parents in their ways of dysregulation and how they use control to try to regulate us. It was very interesting, her response. And my mom does, she does respect me, Lawrence, and Landon's mindset.
And you guys have the space. She provides you the space mm-hmm. to be able to be open and not take it personally. I think your mom is somebody who will be open to letting you to listening, and she'll probably sit with it and think herself.
I applaud my mom on that. She has grown so much. She allowed us to point out her controlling issues through our own healing. She allowed us to be a mirror to her. My youngest brother, he is very good at saying no. He is very good at regulating himself and just say, you know what, my battery is low right now. I'm about to go in my room and, you know, I'm kind of done socializing right now. When it comes to him and my mom's relationship, he's able to tell her, hey, you overstepped. You know, you were in my room. You were looking for something. You did this. Like, I didn't appreciate that. That made me feel X, Y, and Z. And my mom will sit and think about it. I love that my mom does not get defensive. Mm-hmm. Even in her humanness. I remember one time she and I went out to dinner and I let her know about, hey, these childhood traumas that actually happened, I'm not saying that they're your fault, but I'm saying that can you create space for me to talk about it? Can you create space for me to talk about it and you not make it my responsibility to hold your feelings? It's one thing to have to relive it over and over again and it be, I was by myself trying to, you know, go through a way to cope. But now that I'm an adult and I'm trying to talk this out with you and flush this out with you, please don't make it my responsibility to hold my trauma, my feelings. Now I gotta hold your feelings. Let my feelings just lay there. I want to hear, you know what, Lauren? That was tough for you to deal with that. I'm so sorry. You know, how are you working through this now? I'm sorry that my lack of whatever, because no one, I can't blame you because you didn't have the tools. You were doing the best you can. But I think that what adult children now need from parents and from adults and guardians is, I know that you have feelings about what I'm saying. I know how uncomfortable it makes you feel. But is there a way for you to make space for me to feel how I feel?
Not everybody has that ability with their parents. I think that that within your relationship dynamic is healing. But you have so many other people are never going to reach that point with their parents. That's
true.
And it's so the question is, all right, so then how do I move in a space where I'm trying to heal and I want to be able to be open and express how I'm feeling about certain situations or how I've felt in past situations while still being faced with the fact, like, I know that my parents or they're this person is not going to be able to accept it.
Yep.
Right. Like I'm in fearful mode of like, how are they going to react?
Yep. Yep. This is what I had to do. Because I did go through that. I had to ask myself, what do I want? I had to ask myself, what do I want from this? Do I want my parents to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Because most parents are not going to say that. The hurt is too uncomfortable. What you are presenting to them is too uncomfortable for them to accept. So what do you want? What do you, as the adult child who has been hurt, who has a lot that they want to talk to their parent about, what do you need in this moment? Most of these young adults are going through something called no contact, where they're like, I am no longer going to communicate with my parents. A lot of people can't do that either. What I needed was to get away. What I needed was to get out. I liked how it felt for me to not be in their presence versus me being in their presence. When I'm in their presence, what's in my face is they have a relationship that I don't like. They're very uncomfortable when you talk about progressive topics. I'm gay. I have a beard on my face. I left, traveled outside of the country. And when I came back to live with them, I realized how I was being triggered and traumas were popping up all over again. And I went through a period of hating my parents and not having a relationship with my parents. Stonewalling them, silent treatments. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ooh, I don't like how my body feels when I'm in their presence. Mm-hmm. I had to figure out, can I love them from afar? And what if they never say the words that I want them to say? How can I allow them to go through their own process?
You being in their presence was always like a trigger for them.
I was triggering them because I was going through a healing process that they knew nothing about. They didn't even understand. Oh my gosh, Lauren is taking care of herself. Oh, she's cooking different. Why are you bringing all these weird foods in the house? Like, I'm challenging them on, hey, you know, these foods are not good for you, right? You know, I went through a period of like really being in their face. Hey, don't eat that. That'll kill you. Like, hey, you know, y'all should work out. I'm forcing onto them my healing process. And I'm like, oh, that don't work. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. So I started being quiet and I started moving in silence and I started really healing and working on myself. They saw me meditate. They saw me start gardening. They saw me start cooking healthier foods. They saw me bring my relationship around and I was actually being open and not hiding about it. And I was proud about it. I'm like, hey, this is me. I'm not changing for nobody. Mm-hmm. And when I started stepping like that, they was like, okay, who? And they started really watching me. And my dad told me to my face, he was like, you know what? My view on the world started changing because of you. Mm. It wasn't because I was forcing them onto my healing process, it was when I started being quiet. Mm. And I started being an example and not trying to speak and be an example. Like, I'm not trying to force. You don't have to walk my path. Mm-hmm. But I can show you. I can show you through what living an example. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you're doing, too.
How I define healing is learning how to protect the little girl who didn't know any better and the teenage girl who is out for rebellion and giving them the space and the protection that they always needed.
That is so good. I agree with that.
Because I can feel both of them come up in various situations.
And it comes up in cycles.
It comes up in cycles.
Oh my God.
Like the little girl in me is that first initial reaction that
I'll feel. How old is that little girl?
That little girl can be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
How does she act out? Like, how does she want to be seen?
She just wants to be loved. And so she just wants to do what is right, quote unquote, right to receive that love.
Yep.
But then the teenage version of me is the rebellious one. And it's like, no, I don't want to do that anymore. Like, I'm not going to take that from you. And they want to be the one that fights back.
They want to lash out.
They want to lash out. Through your healing process, you are being approached, you're being approached by both versions mm-hmm. of yourself. And so.
And that's just two. That's just two versions. Yeah. There are many versions of you.
Right.
But those are the ones that you're
mainly like operating in. Mm-hmm. Our relationship has been a beaming light on those parts of myself that just want to be loved and just want to be seen and heard and understood mm-hmm. and feel safe. And
that's all you want.
That's all that I want. I like nothing that I'm doing in my life or how I'm moving in my life has to do with anybody, how anybody else acted or whatnot. Everything has to do with how I feel. I didn't like how I was feeling. I didn't like who I was when I was in a certain space. I didn't like who I was when I interacted with this person. I didn't like who I was when I was in this environment.
Yeah.
So I had to remove myself from that because I enjoy and I like the feeling of who I am, what I'm able to do, how I'm able to thrive and live, my mindset, how that is able to just expand in a different space. And so in one of the last podcasts, I said like absence can be your loudest boundary. Mm-hmm. And it's not even a boundary against people. It's a boundary for myself.
A protection.
To protect the little girl inside.
That is so good. Boundaries are not a retaliation and it's not against you. Boundaries is a gate at which I can love you mm-hmm. and love me simultaneously.
Right.
I can love us both if you allow me to put this gate here. Because if that gate wasn't here, you would overstep. If I didn't draw the line in the sand, that means you don't know where the line is. You're not trying to hurt me, but you don't know where the line is. And if I don't know where the line is, then you're getting too close and I'm feeling all dysregulated.
Or I'm putting too much of myself out there. It's like, the more boundaries you create, it's because you're learning yourself more and more of, you know, keeping yourself in a space where you do feel good, where you do are able to regulate yourself and be able to still love everybody in your life. Boundaries don't mean I'm going to cut you off. I still love the people who I've had to cut off.
Yeah.
But it's not out of spite or hate.
It's out of so much love. The misconception about boundaries is that people view it as a negative thing. And they're like, you know, I don't know how to operate around you.
She acting brand new.
Yeah, she acting like different. She
can't talk to nobody.
That's usually the response when people don't know how to create boundaries themselves.
I think it's noticing a change in someone and being triggered by that change. And I think the trigger is like, well, they're blaming you for the change in the relationship, that dynamic that they're used to, and they're not able to maintain that dynamic or the level of control and the level of influence that they had in your life because you are setting a hard line.
Yeah.
Whether it's distance, whether it's love, you know, communication. When I see certain people in my family, I can almost clearly point out dissociated, childhood trauma, financial insecurity,
controlling, trust issues,
trauma bonded. I can see all of these things.
And what are you, why are you saying that?
I'm saying that because I'm not putting fault on them for being that and not being able to know how to meet support me in my needs and support me in my needs while they still are operating unconsciously through their own shit.
You can accept it and you can call that shit out because they won't know until they have experiences that teach them.
And some people are, I'm going
to
tell you.
Listen, it's because in your head, you want them to agree with you. No. You want them to see it. Just listen. You want them to see it. And you think that it is not important for you to speak on it because they won't see it. That's what I felt in my body. When you said that you accept people and where they are in their healing journeys, that meant to me that there is no point in me speaking up and saying this because I know that they won't understand. You're not looking for them to understand. You are trying to get the reps in to figure out how can you set your boundaries. I'm going to do it right here. I'm going to do it right here. I'm going to be consistent here. I'm going to be consistent here. Every time you come to Natalie, you are going to see Natalie be consistent in setting these fences around because she's trying to love you and love herself at the same time. What you are building within yourself is the consistency. It's the building of the strength to do it every time and not sometimes. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. It's not so that they will understand. It's so that you will do it every single time. But I think that you ruminating in your head, they are here and they're still learning and they don't have anybody in their life. They're on their own journey. They don't understand. Yeah, but you know, every time when I'm around, they're going to learn. I'm not letting a person sit in my presence and disrespect me or anybody that I love. They are not going to get a pass. That's what you are building the reps of. These people don't get a pass. I'm not blaming you. Honey, I love you.
My challenge is, you know, in the past when I have set certain boundaries or I've stood in the way of a boundary,
you got your ass hurt. Yep. And that's what comes along with it. That is what comes along with setting boundaries. It's not an easy task.
I agree that it's not comfortable, but I also think that your boundaries are there so you don't get hurt.
No, they're not. In addition to not getting hurt, they're there so that people can understand how far to go with you. Just because I tell somebody no, that don't stop somebody from punching me in the face. Your boundaries are not going to stop people's behaviors, not 100% of the time. So if you say no, and they don't like how it feels when you say no, I can't fuck with Natalie. I used to get over on them, but I can't do that no more. I don't want to be around her. These boundaries are not to push people away, but they do protect you. They protect you not physically. They protect you mentally, emotionally. They protect you in these ways. Mm-hmm. They're not going to stop you from physically getting hurt, but eventually, when your boundaries are set and strong enough and you got this arm around you and guess what? And you got people around you who know how to set boundaries and be there for you. Those people, it will be like warding them off. It's like mosquito spray. They won't come around no more because the energy that lives within you won't even allow it to come around you. That is the beauty of all of this. Mm-hmm. People may believe that if I set boundaries, these are going to be a bulletproof way to keep me safe. That's a misconception about creating boundaries. Boundaries are not always going to keep you safe. What they're doing is they're teaching people what they can do to you and around you, and they get to make the decision. They keep telling me no. They keep stopping me when I talk negative around people. They keep showing me a reflection of me, and I hate me, or I don't like me, or I can't even see me. So I don't want to be around Natalie no more. People learn how to be around you. That's the point of boundaries.
When you have to do that for the people that's closest to you and the people that you actually do want to have relationships with, there's a part of you that has to grieve. There's a part of you that grieves that relationship, that grieves, you know, what the relationship was, that grieves what you wish the relationship could be. And it is painful to move further and further away from what you did know and what that relationship was for you at some point.
I want to say I fully agree with what you just said. There is a grieving process. There is this confrontation of one side of my brain is like, this is what that relationship was to me.
You could speak louder because you were just yelling 2 seconds.
This is what that relationship was for me. In my mind, I have this picture of what it was. And then I have reality of what it is. Mm-hmm. And that contrast shows up. And you kind of are, was I delusional? Was I in this relationship with this person, whether it be romantic, familial, platonic? I was in this relationship for the potential of what I think it could have been. Or I was used to operating. It was comfortable for me to operate in the space that we used to be in. And now I'm seeing it for what it was. This person may be selfish. This person wasn't thoughtful of others. They didn't treat themselves well. And guess what? They didn't treat me well. But why did I let that slide? Did I know how to love myself then? And now I know how to love myself and I'm able to see things for what it was. I'm realizing that that person doesn't love them. That has nothing to do with me. They don't love themselves. You know how I know they don't love themselves? They don't treat themselves with respect. Do you respect yourself? And do you
respect others?
And do I agree with how you respect yourself? Do those align? How do you treat your kids? Do your kids respect you? Not are you able to control them, but do they respect you? Do they feel comfortable coming to you? Do they feel comfortable relying on you?
Are you a safe space?
Are you a safe space?
Are you a safe space? Can you provide a space where I can show up fully myself?
Do we agree on what a safe space is? Mm-hmm. What is a safe space to you? And is that the same to me? Mm-hmm. Because if they're different, we don't need to be around each other. Mm-hmm. Because you may let someone come around you and they end up stealing your money. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna let nobody come around me and steal my money. I'm not going to let people around me that don't love themselves. And that energy of alignment is so important. How we love ourselves align. That's why we're able to live together. Mm-hmm. We have to agree and be aligned in what a safe space is and
shift away from what is not aligned with that. Mm-hmm. We were talking at one point about values. Like, what is it that you value? Knowing what your values are and what makes you feel good, what makes you feel fulfilled, what makes you feel happy, excited in those moments, that those are your leading trackers for what does and does not align with you, whether that's in an opportunity, in a choice that you make, whether that's in a person and, you know, the relationships that you have. If you want to know if something is for you and if it aligns to you, know truly at the core, what are your values? People are like, oh, family is my value. No, your true values, not what you were taught, but your true values are the 5 top moments of your life where you felt like you were just thriving, you were in the zone, things came effortless, you were happy, you were fulfilled, and list out what about those 5 experiences in each of those experiences, what about those experiences made you feel that way. My top values was security, stability, growth, learning.
I believe that you can find out what your core values are by looking at the result of your life right now. What motivates you? What gets you up out of the bed? How do you spend your time? If you look at, let's start off with how you spend your time. And then you'll figure out what you truly value. How do you spend majority of the day? I think a regular, a typical day for a person in the U.S., they would spend about 8.5 to 10 hours either at work or driving to and from work. This was my lifestyle as I was growing up. 8 to 10 hours, my parents were away. We were at school. When we got home, my mom cooked. We spent time in front of the TV. My brothers and I played games. We played outside. I played sports. My brothers played sports. And we then the last 8 hours we were asleep, and we did that over and over again. Our weekends and nights were church. We went to church Fridays, Wednesdays, Sundays, Saturdays. So my values, as I was growing up, if you looked at my family, it was family, church, sports, and school. Those were the things that was valued in our family. And as I got to college, what I valued was education, money, friends, my family, because I spent time calling them and hanging out with them. But now, because your values can change, now I value freedom. I value authenticity. I value nature. I value food. I value learning and growing, learning new things, growing as a person. What do you spend your time, energy, and focus on? That's what your true values are.
If you want to see if you're living your life in alignment with what it is that you feel like you truly value in your life, take a look at, when was I the most happiest, the most fulfilled? What moments did you really love yourself? Love how you felt about yourself. I always feel great when I'm performing, like when I'm on stage. I felt amazing when I was teaching English in Korea, just that period. Our relationship and being able to run our own business. Those are four moments where I just feel really, really great.
Once you start getting to know yourself, then these values are going to start showing up, and it can be on how do you spend your time? What motivates you? Those values are hiding somewhere in there, but you got to search for them again. You got to look at your life right now. What makes you feel happy? What makes you feel safe? What makes you feel free?
Is it in alignment with how you like yourself to feel or not? And so from there, then you can start adjusting and auditing your day to day. So you start moving and living and, you know, creating relationships that are in complete alignment with the version of yourself that you prefer.
One book that I want to plug in here that was really monumental for me personally, it was Think Like a Monk. And in that book, he talks about what we just finished discussing, which was your core values, and how he asked for, it was actually activities in there. And one thing he asked was to audit your time. Take a look at the book, Think Like a Monk. It was really, really good.
All of the books that we recommend, we have a resources page on our website. So just go ahead and check our resource page.
These were actually resources that we've used, mm-hmm. that we've practiced, that we actually listened to, and that actually made a change in our life and the way that we think. Thank you guys for listening to our episode. What is it? Episode 6?
I think.
Yeah, we pumping episodes out.
Yeah.
Episode 6. Of the Divine Reconnection Podcast.
If you like this podcast, if you like this episode, submit questions and we will talk about them.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Share this with somebody who you think it will help. Love you guys. All right. Bye.